So Chahu talks about this magnanimous mind as it's mind like the great mountains or like the great ocean. It's not a biased or contentious mind. We must try to avoid bias or a one-sided perspective and instead strive to see the whole situation. If we say this is me and that is them, our community is divided, our world is divided, and our minds become one-sided. This leads to internal conflict and struggle, and we cannot be called a community or an earth sangha. A sangha is a peaceful community of people, a mixture of water and milk, not water and oil. The attitude of magnanimous mind is no separation. You know, I want to spend just a little bit more time on this magnanimous mind because it's just so beautiful. Chahu says, quoting Dogen, although drawn by the voices of spring, do not wander over spring meadows. Viewing the fall colors, do not allow your heart to fall. Chahu says, here spring and fall are used to represent favorable conditions and adversity. In spring, we're happy, usually, and we wander around and forget reality. During the fall, we become sorrowful and forget about reality. Too often, we're moved by emotions, by circumstances, by good and bad. Magnanimous mind, according to Dogen, means that the four seasons cooperate in a single scene. Spring, summer, autumn, winter, pandemic, one season, one reality. We should accept them as one reality of life. That is magnanimous mind. So no matter what the season, we try to keep practicing steadily. We just keep sitting, whatever happens, whatever the situation, and this reminds me of Blanche. No matter what, even after losing her husband of 63 years, she just kept chugging along. So Blanche, you know, as an example of a woman ancestor, she was a chemist before beginning Zen practice. She was extremely competitive, and she told me at a certain point, and it was public knowledge, that the biggest challenge for her before she could ascend the mountain and become abbess of San Francisco Zen Center was plumbing the depths of the deepest source of suffering she felt, which was having been born a girl. And I felt, you know, even when I began practice in the late 90s and observed Blanche and felt how she responded to me as a young woman in practice. I felt her judgment of me as frivolous, as too feminine. This kind of stuck to her, this feeling of not able to accept being a woman. And not being able to take herself seriously as a woman and constantly competing with the men at San Francisco Zen Center, trying to be like a man. And in some ways, you know, Blanche, for me anyway, as my teacher, as the first woman abbess, she embodied so many masculine attributes that for me personally, it was only when Linda Ruth Cutts came along as clearly the embodiment of a woman, unabashedly a woman, storytelling, a mother, bringing in children more readily, that I really felt that there was a woman abbess. But Blanche was an important bridge. She was an important bridge coming from a very masculine tradition in San Francisco Zen Center. beginning to open up to other ways of being. And of course, you know, in the spectrum, you know, now we have, and there were previous too, gay Abbots. The new Abbot is gay, and so we get to explore more gender. But strictly in terms of being a woman, as a woman myself, these are things that I've thought about. I also became very close with one of Blanche's children. She had four children. And maybe some of you know, one of them, Mitzi, has become a good friend, and she's come to our Zen Center to offer some teachings from her tradition. She became a very famous porn star, you know, I'll just put that right out there, and is very respected, very, very respected among people who sought, who have sought relief from sexual trauma, from difficulties being at ease with the fact of sexuality in human life, maybe who have gotten into all kinds of trouble, who've inflicted suffering, who's received suffering, because of a basic lack of sexual literacy in our human world. And Mitzi has been so helpful. But she was a source of great discomfort for Blanche, right up until, I would say, the last few years of her life. And Blanche has given interviews about this, and there's one story she would tell about first learning of Mitzi's choice to pursue this career. And Blanche said, you know, in the midst of the session, she was thrashing with the question, you know, or the statement, the declaration, "I'm not the kind of mother whose daughter would do something like this." You know, here I am as a priest, part of the San Francisco Zen Center lineage. How could this be? I'm not the kind of mother whose daughter would do something like this. You know, this lack of acceptance is right there, connected with a lack of acceptance of what we're born into, bodily form. But Blanche, in the course of that session, her breakthrough was, well, I am her mother, and she is doing this. So I guess I am the kind of mother who would do, whose daughter would do something like this. And then, I don't know if maybe some of you, if you have in this practice period, if you have looked at this case 26 in the hidden lamp, so happy to see Blanche's commentary on the very famous koan, "The old woman burns down the hermitage." You know, it's the one where there's this monk who's been practicing for decades, and an old woman has been his benefactor, has paid for his room and board, and she wants to test his practice, you know, what has this investment been that she's been making all these years? And she sends a young, maybe beautiful woman over to him who, and it's not quite clear what exactly this young woman does, how far she goes, but she touches him. And he recoils and he rejects her, maybe kind of aggressively. It's a rejection. "I'm a monk, you know, don't touch me." And the quote, sometimes it's translated as, "A withered tree on a cold boulder has no warmth in winter." And when the old woman hears about this, in anger, she burns the hut down and chases the monk away. Bad investment. Blanche's response to this, over and over, she uses the word appreciation. And this is, you know, this book came out in 2013, and Blanche died in 2016. So this is in the last few years of her life, where she also, by the way, When she was visiting the Chapel Hill Zen Center in North Carolina, it so happened to be that her daughter, Mitzi, was performing in Chapel Hill in some venue where she was doing her teachings on sexual literacy and performing on stage. It wasn't just talk. And Blanche, with a few colleagues, fellow women Zen teachers, I think there might have been a women's retreat or something happening there, decided to go to Mitzi's performance, which was quite a scene, apparently, walking into this venue dressed in their black hipari, these bald women. And they arrived a little bit late, just as Mitzi was saying, the most important thing is to do no harm, ahimsa, to not cause harm. And you could say Blanche had an awakening in that moment of, you know, that sounds like bodhisattva activity. So here's Blanche in her commentary to this koan. Through Zen practice, we develop a greater and greater appreciation of everything around us. We don't become an old withered stump, exclamation point. I'm much more alive than I was when I started this practice, and much more appreciative. And that's true of most Zen people I know. The practice is not about suppressing desire or destroying our humanity, but about allowing it to flow out to everything rather than to a particular object. I met Zen practice through Suzuki Roshi, Katagiri Roshi, and Sojin Mel Weitzman. And these were not withered trees. These were very lively people. And every photo I have of Suzuki Roshi, and I have a lot of them, he's laughing or smiling. And by the way, I love that photo of Katagiri Roshi. It's on the back of one of the two books. I can't remember which one, where he has this beautiful smile. I think he's in profile. You know the one. My teachers in my practice have never taught me not to enjoy life. The deeply seasoned teachers I've had the opportunity to meet have all been supportive to people who are suffering, but they've also been very playful and lighthearted. I understand the precepts not as rules to follow, but more as be very careful in this area of human life because there's a lot of suffering there. So pay attention to what you're doing. It's like a sign on a frozen pond that says, danger, thin ice, rather than shame on you. Our vow is to help people end suffering, not to add to their suffering. So this appreciation, you know, for the first time, I'm connecting it with Blanche's Dharma name, Inconceivable Joy. You know, one of the Brahma Vihara is one of the sublime attitudes, the spacious, wide, forgiving minds, love, compassion, sympathetic joy and equanimity. You know, this sympathetic joy is sometimes translated as mudita, as appreciation. And I'm feeling that this morning. Blanche Zenke, inconceivable joy, mudita, appreciation, sympathetic joy. I'm very happy this morning thinking about this because I feel that, you know, in Blanche's long years of practice, just chugging along, not giving up, she was the embodiment of the mind of faith, of a deep trust in this practice. Right in the midst of her thrashing around places where she had difficulty forgiving and how that created some difficulty for those around her. You know, in the end, because she didn't give up, she just kept showing up, just as we have today. And I hope we'll keep doing over and over again. You know, may we find our release too. for the benefit of beings everywhere. You know, just before I end, and we have time for some conversation, if you'd like, or some questions, some sharing. I'd love to hear from what's happening in Minnesota. But just before that, I have a few snapshots I'd like to share, Blanche. They're kind of little snapshots of this mind, of mudita, of appreciation, of joy, this inconceivable joy, this mind of not giving up, this mind of trust and belief and practice, this joyful, magnanimous, and especially nurturing mind, this nurturing mind Dogen Zenji speaks of from the context of the Tenzo Kyokun kitchen practice, of taking good care, the mind of the Tenzo who takes care of each detail, each pot and pan, each grain of rice, how water is used. So here are these snapshots of Blanche. Three of them. First of all, she, I think it was when Darlene Cohen, my other teacher, deep heart connection with Darlene Cohen, was also in her final months, weeks, and days. And then Lou, Blanche's husband, was dying. There were a lot of people, there was a lot of death happening at San Francisco Zen Center. Blanche, on a daily basis, would offer well-being ceremonies every single morning. We would go into the Buddha Hall and we would chant the Enmei Juku Kanam Gyo 7 times. Without fail, Blanche did this every morning. And I appreciated that. And that's a practice we've continued here in my practice place. Just putting that loving energy forth in the world, believing that somehow that makes a difference. Secondly, Blanche as a sewing teacher in the sewing room, how marvelous to watch her undo a knot. She would hunker down over it. The whole world became that needle, you know, that thread, that impossible knot, you know, for any of you who've sewn a raksu or an okesa, when you pull the needle through it, oh no, it gets stuck. Are you going to cut the thread? No. You'd say, Blanche, help. And she would come over, she'd sit down, and she would mumble a little bit, and she'd cajole the thread, the little knot, she'd say, come on. And the knot would release. And the third thing, Blanche, when she was on dish duty, you know, and right up to the last few years of her life, she was in that kitchen with everybody else doing dishes. And to watch her take a pot, you know, the cereal pot. And when she would empty that pot to consolidate the leftover cereal, and she would use the rubber spatula to scrape that pot, there would be hardly anything to wash after Blanche was done with it. Nothing went to waste. Those are just some images of my teacher. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for giving me the chance to share. And please, Ted or Ben or anybody, take it away. Open it up, see if anybody would like to share. Thank you.